Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. We have been having, I like to call it a conversation on prayer. So it's one of those times I'll call a prophetic teaching. So I just get in, and I'm hoping that there's going to be direction exactly as to what we have to pay attention to in the spare of the moment. So now in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Great. I think I have a leading on an emphasis tonight. So we can see that the numbers in the early church was greatly increasing from 12 fervent to a 70 and then to a 120 in the upper room. And then a boom, 3,000 people were saved after a sermon was preached in Acts chapter 2. Then we get to realize that multitudes were brought in. So if I'm going to be estimatedly right, we are talking about a number that should not be less than a double for 3,000, because multitudes were added later on, and 3,000 first, 120. So we're not talking about a number less than 3,000, and it could even be more, double, like 6,000 and over. Now there happened to be, let me give you the background story of verse 1 so that it becomes clear on what we're going to be talking about shortly, very shortly tonight. So you can tell that wherever there are numbers, there's going to be misunderstanding. So these were people in the early church in Acts 6 verse 1 who happened to be Hebrews. So there were Hebrews and then there were Hellenists. Now the Hebrews were Jews. In fact, they were both Jews, okay? But the Hebrews were people who were Jewish, completely Jewish in their beliefs. So for those of us who don't know who Jews are, anybody who practiced Judaism, okay, was a Jew. Is that okay? So, flipping the other coin, if you are not a Jew, right, from who practiced Judaism, it means that you are a Gentile. So, you're either a Jew, okay, or you are a Gentile. And we thank God that all of us are Gentiles, because we definitely are not Jews. We're not born to Jews' parents and all of that. Yeah. Ben-Hin in present day is a Jew. One of the few men of God who are Jews. I mean, there are a lot of men of God. Ben-Hin is a Jew. Yeah, so the Hebrews were complete Jews. Now, the Hellenists were also Jews, but they were a watered down version, So, that case where it means that the Hellenists will feel like these Hebrews are holier than thou, right? It's people, they are holy, 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 holy. Now, the Hebrews on the other side will feel like these people are like, they're like sinners because they are not as very committed and serious as the normal Hebrew would be. So there is already a discord in the understanding. One believes that you are pretending. You are holy, holy. You don't even do the things you say. Then another is saying you are a watered down version of whatever God wants us to do, in quotes. So there's already, number one, a dispute. Now I'm going to be talking to us on a very supernatural activity, that comes with prayer in our temperament or in our character. So the Hebrews are fighting, the Hellenists are complaining. Now the Hellenists are the ones actually complaining that they are widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Right? They believe that the Hebrew people gave some good treatment to their widows. Right? Then they neglected the Hellenists. I mean, the Hellenists, they felt like, no, our widows have been neglected. Now, the daily distribution, it was actually, the early church, taking a responsibility to help and support widows seriously, because they often had no support, right? But they also expected that these widows should serve the church faithfully, right? So, it's like the early church has a responsibility to help, the widows in the church. So they had that responsibility. It was very key, right? But, while you are helping and you are serving, the Hellenists are feeling like, nah, I mean, what are you talking about? You've given all Hellenist widows, what do you call it? Two pieces of bread. Right? But when you people are serving your Hebrew widows, you are giving them three pieces of bread. So the Hellenists believe that the Hebrew Christians received sort of like a better care. So that's what is actually happening in Acts 6 verse 1, is that two people are causing confusion. Then in verse 4, the apostles get to realize that there's a confusion in the church, the early church. Then they say, no, listen. Matthias, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Bartholomew, Thaddeus, and all of those people. So you see what? We rather not get ourselves involved too much in these activities. Lest we do not do what God wants us to do as apostles and fulfilling our ministries. But rather, we are going to separate ourselves and give ourselves to prayer. Because they definitely knew that giving themselves to arguments at the expense of prayer was going to cost their ministries. Giving themselves to ceaseless talking, you people, they are two Hellenists. We gave them two bread. We also gave you two bread. Imagine Peter, after just finished preaching the sermon in Acts chapter 2, be healed. You know, he just finished preaching a sermon, Acts chapter 2. And then, you know, he's saying that, no. No, you can't give them two bread before you realize, you know, Thomas, who appears to be a doubter, saying, you know, Peter, I think you've really been unfair to this. Aha! Thomas is now the one on our side. You know, I'm just giving you a pictorial view of actually what would have happened. Aha, Thomas is the one that sees it. Thomas, haven't you been seeing that every time they serve us two? Today, we have, what do you call it? One. The Hellenists are being served one. The Jew people are being served two. Then, Peter was a cross guy. He was difficult. Right? So, Peter is a difficult one. Very headstrong. He was actually headstrong. Check, Peter, after they just called him and told him that he had given revelation upon this rock, I'll build my church. The next few days, he was rebuking Jesus. Yes, he rebuked Jesus. Like, hey, you're not going anywhere, you're not dying. A small position we gave you. We just said, oh, flesh and blood has not revealed these things for you. You know, but my Father in heaven, that we've done this for you. He's already rebuking Jesus. So he was that headstrong guy. John would have been more softer. So John would have been saying, oh, you know, I think I've also realized these Hellenists are not being treated. But you see, they didn't do that. Right? Because they knew that it was needful that they gave themselves to prayer, so that there are no needless arguments and getting into the flesh. You see, there's something about prayer. You will naturally have this calmness. Even in your attitude when you pray. Because Peter, James, and John and all of these people not to pray will mean that the whole church would have been on fire. The whole church would have been on fire. So, I came to put it to you. You're supposed to be praying. If not, you fall into needless temperaments of anger and frustration. And in quotes, I'm hoping there's nobody here. I trust that depression and all of those funny, you know, illnesses that are of the flesh. So, you will often find this holy calmness that comes with a prayerful person. There's that. You can't take it away. When you realize there is this looseness, talking useless talks, getting angry at the slightest touch, it's often as a result of a dysfunctional prayer life. With prayer, you would know how to accommodate and how to deal with so many issues that naturally people would not be able to deal with. It comes with prayer. It comes with prayer. you'll find anxiety, fear. You know, that thought of not knowing what to do, it becomes clear as you give yourself consistently to prayer. So, like the disciples, who will rather not argue? See, some of you like to argue, eh? A lot about unnecessary things. I tell you, those things are energy zapping. They take a lot of energy out of you. Don't get involved in needless talks and needless emotions and needless confusions and all of those. It's not really important. So, you're going to learn to pray continually, giving yourself to it continually. I can tell you, if you would learn to pray, the married people listening to me, together, united at heart, not that, you know, I just pray a little bit. Somebody's looking on the ceiling. It's like, oh, we're just looking on the ceiling. Or you're just saying, then your mind is wailing, running around, just moving from corner to right. There'll be few or less tensions in your home. A hearty, connected prayer. No matter the fight that comes up at any point in time, a hearty, connected prayer. If you learn to pray for the people that hurt you, it's a natural detoxifier of hurt, forgiveness, pain. Hey, he has done this to me. He has hurt me so bad. He has done that to me. It's a natural detoxifier. You can try it. It detoxifies unforgiveness and hurt. So, there's a supernatural activity of prayer on your emotions. On your emotions. It affects it greatly. A non-prayerful man is a man full of anger. Affects your emotions. Many times when you see that you are struggling with lust and you are struggling with some other, you know, funny things that the flesh is because you are not praying. It's because of that. There is not a way you can be prayerful and be distracted at some things. The distractions will come, but prayer has a natural way of just rendering them very useless, supernaturally. So you're going to pray. You can have a woman that prays, that talks to her husband anyhow. It's not. The moment you see that there's something wrong, it means that you are not praying. And when you are not praying, I can assure you, the enemy is knocking at your door. He's knocking. Don't allow him in. He is knocking. So, arguments, anger, sentiments, emotions. You know, he has done this to me. He has done that to me. I'll never do forgive. I hate. It's because when you pray, it's because you know, when you pray, these things lose. You know, they are grips over your heart. So you're going to learn to pray. Like the disciples, you will draw away and say, no, we are going to give ourselves to prayer, not trying to explain, not trying to get into the emotion of getting angry that they are saying that this, the Hellenists are against the Hebrews. No, we're going to take a step back. Because if we don't pray, we're going to get into this argument too. So give yourself to prayer. When you see that your emotions are not really well, it means you are not praying. Get back to it. Or get back at it. Prayer, you know, births in you several, you know, what I call them, you know, a lot of patience. It creates in you that heart to be patient with people. But if you don't pray, you will pounce at every single thing anybody does. That's why you must pity those who don't have a prayer life. Because that's why I wonder how people do it. Because you can't do it without prayer. You will be something else. I can assure you will be something else. Without prayer, you'll be something else. That's how God made it, and that's how God did it. That's why even Jesus on the earth subjects himself to praying constantly. Even he himself, he knew that this flesh we are in is not really trustable like that. So he himself, he fasted and he prayed. And he prayed long. So when you see that you have something in an emotion you don't like, it means that you are yet to entrench yourself consistently. So like the apostles, you're going to give yourself continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. It means to preach the ministry of the word, to study and to preach, to minister the word. That's what you're going to give yourself to, prayer. When I was, you know, for those of you who have worked in the pharmacy before, you need several, several tanks of patients to handle the people. Several tanks. Ask the pharmacist, the doctors and all of them, they'll tell you. You need a lot of patients. You need a lot of patience to deal with your clients at work. A lot of patience to deal with the people that you disciple. See, I've been following this disciple. I've been following this person. This person is not, it's not my, she should even go her way. Oh, no. Don't let her go her way. You are not patient. Be patient. But I'm telling you how. Do you see that? Yeah, I'm telling you how. You see, unless the expressions of anger is a spiritual birthing, like the expression of anger, unless is a spiritual thing, anger is of the flesh. Yeah. That's why sometimes you hear me say that I can't tell if it's my righteous inclination, which is more spiritual, or it is of the flesh. Because they are not too different. There are few times I can look at something and I'm angry at something. And I say, no, it's not supposed to be like this. No. And I had to ask, is it the righteous one? And many times it's the righteous one. Yes, many times it's the righteous one. Because naturally, I will not get angry at many things. Naturally, I wouldn't. Yeah, naturally, I wouldn't. Unnatural things hardly make me angry. Yes. Like one of the things that kept me angry many times, and I think it's very spiritual, is when I see that the sheep is being taken advantage of, or the people are being taken advantage of, or, you know, it gets me angry many of the times. Yes. But aside that, getting angry because someone spoke about me, someone said something about me, you don't get me. I, in fact, many things that people probably might have said about me that got to me that should get me angry. It doesn't mean that I don't get angry at some things like that. I can't get angry at some things like that. In fact, it doesn't even worry me, truth be told. Doesn't even worry me. I don't have a problem with them also. And I don't have a problem with anyone also. There are actually times where I tell myself, you need to get angry at this thing. Get angry. Don't be just calm all the time. Because you look at it and you can't find it. It's a function of giving yourself continually to prayer. It's true. So, God is going to help you in your emotions, your temperaments. You know, some of you just burst out. Just burst out like what you call it. You just poop. Because you are angry. Or because someone said this thing against you. Sometimes you are in quote tense. For no reason. You need to give yourself continually to prayer. God is helping you with the things that you have to do. You see, a woman that prays is a blessing to her husband. It's true. And likewise, a man that prays is also a blessing to the wife. So a praying people is a blessing, in short. When you don't pray, you are driving, somebody crosses you. Hey, you just crossed me. Hey, your father, your, just somebody crossing you already, you are already insulting the person's father. You're already insulting the person's father. Oh. Eh? Just small. Yambi Tuyaoka. Oh, just somebody crossing you. Simple. In the morning, you're just driving. Somebody just crosses you. You're already in. You know, they literally insult. The person is not there. Maybe you even drove past the person or something.
in the car while they are driving. Oh, see them in so. I'm like, the person is not even here now. There was one car I sat in like that. The man can insult God. Meanwhile, the person is not there. Like, he's actually insulting the person to you because you are sitting in front where he is. So, like, who's there? If I gonna, or you dying, or you, and he was saying it to me. I was quiet. I still remember the exact insult. Like, I, in fact, the insults he gave the people, they were not there. Like, any small crossing or like he insults. And I'm like, my God, please hurry up. Let me get down from this car. Before I also learn your insults, I just need to get down from the car. And he's actually insulting them to me. Like, he turns and looked at my face and he gives the insults to me for what somebody else is doing that the person did not even see or the person does not even know. And insults. I'm like, God, this guy needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost. No, he actually needs to be born again. Then we get him filled in the Holy Ghost. That'll help. The annoying thing is that you look up the car and then you see an old Bible. You know, whatever the Bible, you know, oftentimes they feel like the Bible is a protective weapon. So they just put it there in case. So the Bible is old. Never opened, or maybe opened 25 years ago, but maybe 15 years ago. And then the Bible, you see the Bible. Yeah, and then they are insulting everybody. Everybody, they insult everybody. So you learn to be temperate. Yes. See, the ladies, don't let anybody tell you that ladies are loud, ladies are talkers, ladies are nuggets, ladies are... No, you're a lady, but you're full of the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? You're full of the Holy Ghost. It means you can give wise counsel. Right? You can give wise counsel. It means you can be patient. Observe a matter. Look at it carefully and talk. Right? Yes. You can do that. You can do that. You can do that. You're full of the Holy Ghost. You must not be the one that always knocks, always talking, every time something to say. And I know they are like that until you marry them. They are like that. Yes, don't let anybody deceive you, except that they are full of the Holy Ghost. They are all like that. Say, hey, pastor can say some things. It's true, but I believe that those who are full of the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, they are all like that, not filled with the Holy Ghost. You run away. You say, hey, I didn't know that it was like this. You know. Now you know. Yes, but we have spirit-filled women. They would be temperate, loving, soft, understanding. They can think through matters. I mean, when you put it down on the table, they should be able to think through. Yeah? Think through. Don't just... Hey, are you the only one? Eh? No, let's pray about it. So, you are going to give yourself to prayer. And then, let me tell you something. There are, and I know that very well, there are temperances that are more relevant
to men, and there are also temperances that are more relevant to women. Do you see that? That's the natural thing. Then we take it a step higher, right? So it means that now the man or woman full of the Holy Ghost is subject to yielding themselves to the temperance of the Holy Spirit because they are full of Him. But without that, there are natural temperances of both. There's a natural temperance of both. But you are not supposed to succumb to those natural temperances of any of whatever. No. You now are subject to the Holy Spirit. That's why you're not sanguine. You're not melancholic. You are not... give me the other ones. Sanguine, melancholic. Phlegmatic, choleric. Great. So you're trying to find out phlegmatic, le choleric. Trying to find. No. You are born of the Holy Ghost and full of God. Are you listening? So whatever temperament that is needed in the case, in a case, right? Is Boyki shocked? The way she dropped the emoji. Right? You are born of the Holy Ghost. You are neither choleric, neither are you sanguine, neither are you melancholic. Now, I'm not saying it's not there. It's there, right? But that's a lower version, right? That's in the flesh, in the natural self person. Do you understand? Then there is the Holy Ghost. Right? It means that you are now yielded to what the Holy Ghost wants you to do. So in any situation, you're going to be yielded to Him. Right? So you're full of joy all the time. Right? The Holy Ghost is not moody. You're not moody. Say, I like to just be alone. Please. Right? Great. You're jolly. You're fun to be with. You're patient. You're kind. Right? You're full of the Holy Ghost all the time. All the time. And when matters are presented to you, you don't respond to your melancholic, whatever, sanguinic, whatever. No, you respond the way the Holy Ghost will have you respond. That's why you can't talk carelessly. Because you are neither sanguine, nor choleric, nor melancholic, nor whatever. You're born of God. So your temperance, or your temperaments, and your attitudes, and your characters, are also going to be born of God. So, there's a supernatural activity of prayer on your emotions. Yeah. When you see everything in skirt you like, everyone in wig you like, there's a problem. You have left your prayer. It's most probably you are not praying. I can tell you for free. It's most probably you are not praying. Every man you see, you prefer that you are in a relationship with them. It's most probably you are not seeing. Yes, most probably that you are not praying. You're not praying. Because when you pray, there are these things that are dealt with. Maybe not immediately, but as you pray continually. Yes. 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 Right? So, I just thought to teach you this on how that there is that supernatural, you know, activity, you know, of just a calmness, a composure, you know, a faith, you know, that comes with prayer. It doesn't get you more in the flesh. It gets you yielding to more of the Spirit. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're giving ourselves to prayer. And did that bless you? I trust it did bless you. Your pastor is a wonderful teacher. I'm telling you myself, I don't even believe it, but it is working. Yes, it is working. We're going to build powerful, you know, blessings. Receive wonderful teachings. Yes, that's the blessing of God to us. Oh, that's the blessing of God. He makes us lie down in green pastures. Like every time there's something fresh. You see, and I don't push it. I don't sit down to prepare. I just come in normally and I just preach and teach. Just normally. There's something working. Yes. And sometimes how you know that's the anointing of the Spirit is that I don't even know exactly what I'm to teach, and I don't know how I'm going to teach. And sometimes I don't even know the things I'm teaching you. So I have to go and listen to it again. Yes, I have to listen to it again. I say, okay, this is the anointing of the Spirit. Because it comes as an inspiration, like you float on it and you are just going like that. And the people are being blessed and they are grazing in the green pastures. And every day there's pasture. You know, there's pasture. This gift is going to be working in everybody in here. Everybody. It's going to be working in everybody. You have words that will flow effortlessly. That's what I'm saying, that teach the same things. It's not difficult. Just teach the same things. They flow effortlessly. And you'll be able to explain it exactly the way it has been explained. Yes. Me, myself, I can see that it's working. It's overworking. Receive the gift to also teach the way you are taught. Yeah. It's a powerful gift. I'm telling you. I've come to realize it. That it's not. That it's really. It's a gift on its. It's a gift. That is what builds a nation. Yeah. That's what builds a nation. So as we go this evening, you're going to supernaturally submit yourself to pray so that you can have this supernatural effect. Supernatural effect of prayer in your emotions, your temperaments and all of that. Never say that my mother gets angry, so me too, I just get angry. No. Are you listening? Father, we thank you for great grace in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.